before I share with you what I have, I want to just stop for a moment and check to see if there's anybody that, as a result of these events and what you've heard already, feel like this is an opportunity today that you need to get right with God. I know that we usually will do an altar call at the end of the sermon, but we just got the main course. And I'm going to just take a moment and give anyone who believes that they need to change their course and get right with God the opportunity to come forth and have us pray over you in that regard. There may be none, but I feel like after a message like that, we should at least give the opportunity. Amen. Amen. Well, if there are none, I don't think I'm going to be before you long because you've gotten the main course. But I believe what I will share with you will be complimentary. Say complimentary. Amen. Amen. There are two sides to the coin. Everything that we've heard thus far is true. We should take the events of last week and they should shake us. They should lead those who haven't to a metanoia experience. And while it can be earth-shattering and it can scare you, if all you want to do is not go to hell, that'll be metamelomai, and that won't get you anything. So that's the truth that you also need to know. Amen? So last week's events are indeed a reminder, like Pastor Trina said. They're a reminder of the fragility of life. Is it not a vapor? A reminder of the fact that we're all connected. Did we not realize that? If we didn't realize that before last week and the week that we just experienced, we are all connected one way or another. And sports, while we can joke about it, sports, whether you're a fan or not, in our society, connect us. They bring us together, even if you're not a big fan. And if we're too heavenly minded with no earthly good, read the New Testament. The most prolific writer in the New Testament is Paul the Apostle. And most of his imagery, most of his analogies, most of his examples were actually sports. So we are in the world, yet not of the world. But let us not in our spirituality and our wanting folks to get to heaven forget that we are yet still, however, in the world. And if you're going to be in the world, and if you're going to be human in the world, let's have our version of humanity as Christians make things better. Let's have our version of humanity be a help to other humans. Amen? You can be salty without being nasty. You can be salty without being judgmental. We are the salt of the earth, but the food ought to taste better with us, not worse. Amen?
Amen.
We are reminded by the events that started last week of what really matters and also what doesn't really matter.
Amen.
Amen. We shouldn't need an event like that, but it might serve as a reminder. Amen.
Amen.
We should be quicker today to say, I love you and I'm sorry. And we should be less apt to sweat the small things. A week ago, were you sweating some small thing? Were you holding a grudge about something that the other person has forgotten all about? Events like that affects all of us. Amen?
Amen?
Our lives are like a puzzle. You ever have a puzzle in the box? Well, the good thing about a puzzle in a cardboard box is that you have a picture on the front of the box that tells you what the puzzle is supposed to end up like. And you use that to help you put the puzzle together. Well, your life is also a puzzle, and God knows what the end looks like. And we don't. And so each and every one of us, and Kobe, and Gianna, and really the rest of those folks included, all had plans. They all had futures that they were building towards. They had puzzle pieces that set outside of the border of the way God actually designed their puzzle. But they didn't have the cardboard box. And so they had dreams, they had plans, they had aspirations, and so do we. Just know, we're not the puzzle maker. But your life is a puzzle, and the pieces are ordained by Him, and even the timing of the pieces matter, not just the pieces themselves. And so we have something in common with them. They were people. They had plans. They didn't know the puzzle. And they also had pieces that they planned that now that they know the borders of their puzzle, now that they know the picture that got painted by their lives, now they realize, now we realize, now their families realize how much of their plans were not in God's plan. And only the days that they lived here actually matter. So you can plan for the future, but you better live today. You can plan with your own plans, but you better live what God planned out for you. You can do some things that you have an idea of, but you better really do the things that God has told you to do. Like Pastor Trina said, amen? And so at times like this, we can question life. We can question God. And I think it's important that we just take a few moments and look in the scripture and get a little bit of help from Solomon and Paul, and then I'll be done. I promise I won't hold you very long. Amen. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, and let's look at chapter 3. I told you that I am the dessert today, and I'm going to provide you with a complimentary word to what Pastor Trina has already preached. We need to get right, church, and let's go home. And yet, the world at a time like this should be able to look to us during these difficult moments. The world at a time like this will have questions that secular humanism cannot address. And we should be able and willing to address it. And so we have questions. Questions that can frustrate us. Questions that can make us start to question our faith. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we'll look at verses 9 through 11, and we'll see the questions that Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, that then went out and lived real life, and now he's coming back trying to tell you all the stuff that he knows, and he's begging you to listen. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
And if we look at verse 9, he says, "What profit hath he?" We're talking about any man, woman on this earth that worketh in that wherein he laboreth. In other words, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? What he's saying here is, God has given me the wisdom greater than any man that's ever lived. I've lived life. I've seen it all. And after all of that, what good was it? If you're going to crash into a mountain, what good is it? When your life goes up in a vapor, when all the plans and all the things that people thought you were going to accomplish were going to go up in smoke and burning in ashes, what's the point of all the things that man does? There are moments in life when you start to think those things. And the great Solomon thought those kinds of thoughts. He goes on to say, I have seen the travail, meaning the work, the business, which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised therein. In other words, I've seen the various kinds of thing, the business, the activities that God has man to do. And after seeing all of that and seeing how really it seems to come to nothing, what then is the point? He asks. But then I think he answers his own question, and in just a portion of verse 11, we see how he answers it. He says, he, speaking of God, he hath made everything beautiful, what does it say? In his time. He has made what? Everything beautiful in his time. I think it's amazing that God indeed makes everything beautiful. This is a man who was saying, what in the world is the point? I see what God has man to do. I see kind of how it ends up. What is the point? But he ends it with, God makes everything beautiful, everything appropriate, everything fitting in his time. And we think about the most famous people on the helicopter last week. And we think about Kobe Bryant and his acerbic personality, how he pushed people away, and how in order to be his best self, he felt like he had to hunker down and he was judgmental. And yet we look at the arc of his life through some very big downs and problems that he had because of his own activities that were wrong, and the sorries that he had to say, and the forgive me's that he had to receive. And we see him at the end of the arc of his life, not realizing it before, but now knowing that if you look at the box of his puzzle, it's a picture of him and his little Gianna. That if you look at that picture, that's all you need to know if you want to know the man that he became. I hope he was in church that Sunday. But he didn't know what his puzzle was going to be like. But what we know and what he might have known if he was taught it is that God makes everything beautiful and fitting in his time. And if you look at the portrait of his family that's online with his wife, Vanessa, and all the other children, if you look at the top of it, what do you see? You see Kobe Bryant, happy, finally, and his beautiful Gianna draped over his shoulder. The happiest little girl you ever want to see. So if you zoom out and you see this picture of his family, who's even thinking about basketball? Unless it's teaching a daughter and spending quality time. And if you zoom out further on the puzzle box of his life, then you get to see the helicopter itself, the people that were in it, no famous people other than him and maybe his daughter, people who were nobodies, people who were regular people, but they happened to know Kobe, and they got to have a special experience because of that connection. We get to see that he was caring about other people. We get to find out about all the little nice things that he did that he didn't have to do. We get to see that he used the helicopter as a way to fill in the gaps, to get it all in, to do all the business, but to be with the people, to have the time with the people that he was supposed to have the quality time. I know something about that. So when you pan back and you see the picture of the puzzle box, now we get to see things, pieces of his puzzle that we didn't know before. Now we get to see that that's all that there is, and it's mostly beautiful. But as Pastor Trina said, as poignant as this is, none of it matters if he wasn't connected to the Jesus that was sent here by the Father God of whatever church he showed up to that morning. But as Solomon asked this very tough question and answered it in a beautiful way, saying, God hath made everything beautiful in his time. Let's go back and just wrap up by reading verses 1-8. Because one of the things that Solomon realized as he was asking and answering his own question is that, yes, God makes everything beautiful in his time. But he also recognized that while we are all so very unique, each and every one of us, and our puzzles are never the same, We are all still human. We are all still traveling and sojourning on this same platform called Earth. We are all still dealing with all the various stresses and strains, joys and pains of life together as humans. And so while we may be different in so many ways, there are certain things that are just common. And so let's look at verses 1 through 8. He says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. In other words, to everything there is an appointed time and a time to every event under heaven. Did you know this? A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which was planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get. This means to pursue gain. Did you know that there is a time in your life that it is appropriate to pursue gain? And yet there is also a time to lose, which means to give away what you have. A time to keep, which is to save, whether it's money or things, and a time to throw those things away. A time to rend or to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Solomon could see that there's certain things that everybody goes through. What he's saying here is that all of these things, you're going to deal with stresses and strains, you're going to have joy, you're going to have pain. We're all going to have these things. There will be a time in your life, you may have joy while I'm having pain. You may have stress while I'm carefree. We're not synchronized, wouldn't it be nice? But we're all going to experience the same signposts. We might be running in a different lane. We might be signed up for a different event at the meet, but we are all running around the same track. And for every one of us, there will be a time to weep. Somebody else might be laughing while you're weeping. For all of us, there's a time to die and a time to be born. But in between those two things, we have so much in common. And we have those things in common with all of the human beings that are not in this church or a church today. The question is, what do we bring them? We bring them Jesus. We bring them the gospel. But we also bring it in our humanity and with love. Are you hearing me? Amen. The people on that helicopter were not synchronized in their joy, their pain, their stresses, their happiness, their victories, their failures, their losses, their gains. But in that moment, they were synchronized. They all shared the freeze frame of the picture on the puzzle box of their lives at the same time. And so they are synchronized in that. They were not all born at the same time, but they all have the same time of death. They all had their clocks run out at the same time. They all had their D-Day. their final moment of whatever you've done up to this point is all that matters day. And so I'll wrap up by saying this while we're not all synchronized. Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. So we should share genuinely in other people's joy. We shouldn't be haters. We should actually help enhance their joy, because when you have something good, Brother Jason got some good news yesterday, you couldn't wait. Or maybe it was day before yesterday, couldn't wait to tell people. You should pile on and help people enjoy the happy moments in their lives. But it's also possible that the events of last week, something that didn't hit you that much, doesn't affect you that much. Maybe you didn't care about sports. Maybe you're not connected to Kobe that much. Maybe you're not a Laker fan. But somebody else is. Somebody else is hurting. Somebody else is more connected emotionally to that event. For somebody else, for whatever reason, it affects them more. So what do we say? Do we write it off as them being secular? Do we write it off as them focusing on something that doesn't really matter? No, weep with those that weep. And in that love, in that opportunity, in that being present, you will have an opportunity to say something to them that they may need to be said. So if you're with someone and they're more affected by these events than you, just weep with them. Or just be with them. If they're weeping and they're sad and they're hurting, don't try to fix it. That never works. Don't try to force them to cheer up, even if there's light on the other side of that tunnel. Be with them. Weep with them. Embrace that moment with them. Don't try to force it to be a happy moment. More silence than talk is also okay, if not preferred, until that person finally starts to speak and perk up and starts to go from the sadness and the pain and the being withdrawn to reminiscing and thinking about the good times and what binds us together. Amen? Amen. We should, as Christians, in these moments, bring Jesus, bring the Savior, bring the only solution to man's problem that has ever existed, the good news. But we should bring that gift with compassion. We should bring that gift by being present, knowing we're all running around this track as humans, experiencing the same kinds of things throughout life, just at different times, different ways, all same experiences. Give your fellow man the gift of compassion, especially at a moment like this. Not judgment for maybe they're overreacting to something that's secular. Not assuming that Kobe didn't go to church that morning. But understanding we're all on this journey together with more in common than we have different. We are in this world, but not of this world. But as Christians, let's let our humanity be a gift to the world rather than a curse to the world. We are all born into sin, and so we have a sinful nature, and we do hurtful things, and we do wrong things. But once Jesus comes into our heart, we have the ingredient that the world needs. We should give it with an open hand and an open heart, as well as our open eyes. having open eyes just to see the thing that people won't see, to bang them over the head and act angry with them. Not passionate. I mean angry. I mean judgmental. I mean better than. Doesn't help. Because Jesus didn't come out down here with that attitude. He only got angry when people were being taken advantage of. He only got angry when we were excluding someone that he wanted to be included. He only got angry when we were taking his word, his relationship with mankind, and perverting it. So let's be sure to know that we all need Jesus. And without him, there is no good happily ever after. And yet with him, we all get to enjoy being with Jesus forever. But while we are here, let's let our version of humanity as Christians be humane. Let's let our version of humanity as Christians be a gift and not a curse.